It's hard to let go. It's hard to say goodbye. Love lets go. Love trusts that in letting go, we empower the ones we let go to be agents of their own in their own life. Think of the parent that drops off their child at pre-K 3 or kindergarten for the first time. How traumatic it is for the child who's screaming and crying, "Mommy, Mommy, don't leave me with these strangers." And on the inside, you feel the same way, but you don't want to show it because it's the first time you've ever let your kid alone with strangers. Or when you send your kid off to college or into their new apartment or home and you're letting them go, love lets them go. Love trusts in the foundation you've given them and wants them now to be empowered with that, to be agents of their own life, to be able to move forward independent, empowered by the legacy you've left them, by how you raised them. Love lets go. Or think of when we say goodbye to a parent as they pass away, the difficulty of saying goodbye, coupled with the hope and the peace that one day we will see them again in heaven. But still, love allows us to let go. When we don't let go, we become controlling. We do harm to those that we claim to love. Think of the abusive spouse. "I only hit her because I love her." Fake, disingenuous love gets angry when we have to let go. We're filled with rage and anger over the death of a parent, seeing off of a child, now an adult, etc. But real love lets go, entrusting what they've received and wanting to see them flourish on their own without our help. In the first reading today from the Acts of the apostles have to let go. And they've been on a roller coaster of emotions. 40 days before this moment, or we would say 43 days before this moment, Christ dies on the cross. They had to let go of their hopes and their dreams for who Jesus would be, who they thought he was, and watch him or hear of him, all abandoning him but John, the beloved apostle, hear of him dying on the cross and having to let go of everything they experienced for 3 years with Jesus. Only to have 40 days after this event, 3 days later, to see him rise from the dead and think, "Now you're here to stay." And that's what they tell him. "Lord, aren't you going to establish the kingdom of Jerusalem? Aren't you here to stay now to reestablish the throne of David and to conquer the Romans and bring Israel back to its original glory?" And Jesus tells them again, "No, I'm going to the Father. You have to let go again." And it feels like an abandonment. Think of it. I mean, Christ dies, he rises from the dead, and then he leaves them 40 days later. He has to return to the right hand of the Father from where he came to complete the work of his salvation, to complete the vocation, the call that the Father entrusted to him. But it's not to abandon the apostles as they think or as they feel. He loves them so much that he lets them go, because he is going to fill them literally with God, who is love, that is the Holy Spirit, the love between the Father and the Son. That love is God, the Holy Spirit. And so he tells them, "Go to Jerusalem and wait for me there. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria." No longer me, or no longer you, prodded by me, but you alone. Not that they will be alone. God the Holy Spirit will guide them in all things. Christ doesn't abandon us when he ascends to the right hand of the Father. He loves us all the more. He empowers us with his divine Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, the second person, the third person of the Holy Trinity, to be agents of his word, of his ministry, of his power here on earth. As we grow up, you know, we're always hiding behind mom's leg, right? When we're little tiny kids, a stranger comes and the kid hides behind and grabs mom's leg and holds on. "Don't leave me. He can't take me." Right? And it's always our parents who are putting the face forward for the family. And we are introduced by our parents to strangers or friends or family. But as we get older, our parents eventually teach us, look him in the eye, shake his hand, and say your name nice and loud. It's good to meet you. I'm John. And we begin to empower them to be agents of their own introduction, so that eventually, when we aren't there as parents, they can look people in the eye, give them a firm handshake, and get into college or get their first job or get hired for their dream job after college. We want them to be agents of their own, to be changers of the circumstances of their lives coming from themselves and no longer us having to lead them or them depending on us. Real love lets go. It empowers, it strengthens. And that's what Jesus does. He completes his mission, returns to the right hand of the Father, now as man as well as God, whereas before he was always God at the right hand of the Father, and prepares a place for us. He doesn't go to heaven to abandon us. He goes to heaven to prepare a place for us, as he says, but also so that we would be agents of the gospel by the power of the Holy Spirit, celebrating Pentecost this Sunday. That's why Christ lets us go. That's why Christ returns to the right hand of the Father, so that we in his name would proclaim the gospel to every creature throughout the world, be baptized, and believe in him, and bring salvation to people who have never heard of it before, and to do the miracles he did, and even greater, as he tells us in Scripture. Today, we celebrate the fact that Jesus, by his own power and authority as God, ascended to the right hand of the Father. We celebrate on August 15th the Assumption of Mary, and there's often a lot of confusion about the two. By Christ's ascension, an active verb, we're professing that Jesus, by his own power as God, ascended to the right hand of the Father. The word assumption is a passive verb. What we're saying is that Mary, by the grace, merits, and power of her Savior, Jesus Christ, who alone is God, was assumed into heaven, body and soul. So that in heaven, there are only two human persons, Jesus and Mary. And that when Christ returns in glory and calls all to himself, those who have been saved will be in heaven along with Jesus and Mary, body and soul. The saints aren't there yet. Their bodies are still here as relics, like we have in the back of our church here, in the back of our sanctuary. So that one day when he returns in glory and calls them to heaven, they will be resurrected bodily and be with him forever in heaven. Mary was assumed passively by the grace and merits of Jesus Christ. Jesus ascends by his own authority as God. And he does not abandon us. Not only because of the gift of the Holy Spirit, which we will celebrate once again, the birth of the church in a week from today, Pentecost, but also in the Eucharist. He promises before he leaves, I will never leave you orphan. I will always be with you. And he literally realizes that in the gift of the Eucharist. In every Catholic church, in every tabernacle, God is with us, Emmanuel. Every time we enter a church, it's like Christmas all over again. God is with us. And we should sing with the angels and give glory to God to know that I am not alone. No matter who has left me, either because of their sins, my own, or because of death, I am never alone. Every time I enter a Catholic church, a Catholic always looks to the tabernacle. They genuflect with their right knee, if they're physically able to do so. And then they're seated or they kneel to pray. They do so because we acknowledge that God is literally here, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Unlike any other church or religion, Jesus is present, apart from our Orthodox Christian brothers and sisters. Christ is present in the Eucharist, there and with us. And it is here that we can come and be about our Father's house, as Joseph and Mary found Jesus at 12 years of age when they lost him in Jerusalem. Should you not know that I would be at my Father's house? Jesus knew, this is my home. It's my Father's home. These are my family members. And when I'm here, I'm never separated from my family. It took losing Jesus for 3 days, maybe for Joseph and Mary, to understand that more profoundly and realize that truth. And our hope and prayer is that we would realize the same, whether in life or death, in graduation or heading off to kindergarten, or the losing of a family or friend, or the loss of a marriage, or becoming empty nesters as our kids move on and now we're alone at home with this stranger who always worked and now won't leave me alone. When we come to Catholic Mass or any Catholic church at any moment, we remember, but I'm never alone. Here, I'm always at home with my Father. Here, Christ has fulfilled his promise, I will never leave you. And from the right hand of the Father, he prays for us that the power of the Holy Spirit received at our baptism and confirmation would loom powerful and great in our lives by its fruits and its gifts, so that what he did for 3 years on earth, we may do now here on earth as he is in heaven, who has gone to prepare a place for us so that where he is, one day we may be. Even though we may feel abandoned, like the apostles did in the first reading today, Christ assures us we are never alone, and hopes and prays that we, like him, would help the church grow by our own witness, proclaiming the gospel by our lives, filled with God who is love, that is the Holy Spirit, and nourished by his Eucharistic presence.